You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Tan Sri Shari Abdul Samad, the chairman of FELDA, which is an organisation set up in 1956 to alleviate poverty among rural Malaysians through the cultivation of oil palm and rubber. Now, Tan Sri, welcome to the show and thank you for joining
you.
Us. You've been doing the media rounds, but obviously lots of governance issues with FELDA. And let's start with your appointment here, because you are a career politician. You've been a member of UMNO since the 70s, and you've been political secretary to at least two prime ministers and at least two other very notable political figures. The question we have to kick off this discussion is really, shouldn't a technocrat or at least an entrepreneur with commercial experience be heading up a repair job at FELDA and not a career politician?
Well, I suppose it's just up to, it's a matter of opinion, I suppose, right? I do not see the a problem for me to do the job or to achieve what I want to do, because I quite understand the culture within FELDA, the way that FELDA has been set up. I think FELDA is sometimes being missed and misunderstood. What FELDA is, that the how the ecosystem of FELDA itself, right, is, has to be first understood, because in its original form, FELDA was quite unique, because you had these the civil servants, the management, the staff. On one side, you had the settlers on the other side, and yet they were bound together through this kooperasi Pemodalan FELDA. That was what it was, and that was at the time of its heyday. It was a really, really heyday. But as a politician, I suppose, I don't deny that I'm a politician. I don't deny. I think certainly there will be certain expectations and certain presumptions about me. I suppose I can. This is a job that I can do. You know, it is not an easy job. It is a question. There is a balance of you have to lead. You have to lead the management. You have to be in touch with the settlers and communicate with the settlers. So it's not about talking to the press or talking to the public. To me, it's much more a job that I need to perform with the staff management of FELDA, with the settlers and their children and the families in the schemes. Talking to the press and the media and the public is just what I expected to do.
Well, exactly. But there's nothing simpler than basically addressing the wherewithal and the livelihoods of poor farmers. And you can't get any simpler than that. But it's been 51 years since the incorporation of FELDA under the legislation at the time. And a lot of people would argue that FELDA has lost its way. It's bought hotels in London. It's bought apartments and hotels in Kota Kinabalu. It's gone into sturgeon farming. It's bought listed companies. It's gone into property development. And, basically at least a couple of your entities, namely FELDA Global Ventures, and as well as at the FIC, the Investment Corporation, it is not only losing money, but it's losing money fast.
FGV is already a listed company.
Correct.
FIC
is not listed.
It's not a listed company. It is part of the FELDA
Correct.
Group in the way to supposedly to raise funds for FELDA.
Correct.
Because whatever the settlers earn through their farms, through their palm oil small holdings, goes back to them. But FELDA has to earn money to be able to pay for its the salaries of its officers, management and staff, and also to undertake activities like financing replanting in the financing the payments of for sale of the fruits and so on, and other socio-economic activities.
Well, Sam,
so it has to have it has to have its own funds. So there was a decision at the FELDA level that their the investments after the listing of FGV was to be in non palm oil business.
Well, I guess okay. Let's discuss that in a few minutes, Tan Sri. But let's focus on your appointment now, because obviously you were named, you were appointed by the current Prime Minister, Prime Minister Dato' Sri Najib, and obviously. So the reports say he's got an office on the 50th floor of Menara FELDA in KL. So obviously you remain very close to the nexus and to the corridors of power. So the question the market wants to know is how efficient you're going to be at restructuring FELDA? Because at the end of the day, FELDA sits at the apogee of the FELDA organization structure, whether it's FGV or FIC or Cooperative Felda. Okay, now here is this, right? Now here, last Sunday, I think over the weekend before Valentine's Day, you made a statement to the effect that you were not sure where the money raised from the listing of Felda Global Ventures was. And then I think 2 days later, you made an abrupt about turn saying that actually we do know where the $4.3 billion has gone. It's gone into hotels and other real estate assets. So it just seems as if you've got also a task on your hands to manage your stakeholders.
I think the
Did Prime Minister Najib talk to you, in other words?
On when?
In the wake of your comments to the newspapers on Sunday.
No. There was no conversation between me and the Prime Minister.
Why did you then make an about turn?
The simple reason was that what I said simply was that saya in Malay, it was a conversation in Malay. Saya kena nak cari ke mana perginya, because this is part of my job of looking at how it's spent. It's very colloquial. There was never in that conversation using a Malay word like hilang, the money is lost, benda yang hilang, pelaburan yang hilang. The word hilang never appeared in my conversation with the media. So to say that I even made an about turn is that how can I make an about turn if you do not know where I was going? Or you knew where I was going already, or you decided where I was going. Then you say, you made an about turn.
Okay,
it's not fair.
So in your defense, you said you were misquoted by the media.
No, it's not about being misquoted. It's a very gentle way of telling the press, okay, I'm being misquoted. But if you do a news item by deleting certain, certain sentences and certain words and certain that were spoken by me, and you compare the report, that particular report, with the report done by other newspapers,
the essence of what you said, Tan Sri, is unmistakable, though, because you are quite rightly pointing out that there has been some level of mismanagement in the organization since its incorporation in the 50s.
Of course there is mismanagement, right? Because it's been proven by the fact that the Auditor General has been through our accounts, the MACC has taken action. But the most important part is that this mismanagement was also discovered after there was internal auditing within Felda itself. It was not as though that you had the Auditor General coming in and then finding out the problem. But Felda as an organization had the capability to handle the issues within themselves. And after they had done the internal investigation and everything was followed up by the Auditor General and action by MBCC. So what I wish to point out, and this is also very important for the morale of the officers, because if you want to do a change or you want to do some improvement to an organization, you must make sure that you have the staff, the management together with you. It's not possible to just come in and you do not know who is who anyway. And
Correct.
So you have to have the staff and the management with you. So the most important part for us to realize is that Felda is an organization which has its own governance, it's got its own procedures, and in fact was able to take action against its own CEO at that time, the Director General, who was then involved in Sturgeon and various projects with Korean companies. So what I'm saying very simply, is that Felda is an organization which has got its own procedures, its own governance, and its ability to handle these issues.
How badly have those procedures been compromised by the activities of management preceding your appointment?
But if you have been, if you have been able to identify it, right, and you know that is what happened, then you know what not to do. Because sometimes it is where, obviously, the top officer ignored the procedures, ignored the governance, and decided to do his own way.
Tanshi, let me quote what you said to The Edge Weekly last weekend. You said, "What is needed in Felda is to get back the confidence of the staff, the settlers, and the market. Felda is something the settlers feel proud about. They don't want to hear stories about the agency buying hotels in London, its officials living like lords, whole family members going to London for holiday. The top people seem to enjoy everything. There's this popular notion that they are the capitalists who are exploiting the settlers and the downtrodden. If the leakages stop, the settlers will settle down."
Right.
Now, where is the most damage? Where has the most damage been done within Felda? Is it the financial loss? Is it the reputation of the settlers? Is it the sentiment of the settlers? Or is it the fact that being a multi-billion ringgit corporation meant to address the livelihoods of poor farmers, it has so badly lost its way?
In other words, what
is your number one mandate as the new chairman of Felda since your appointment in January 2017?
Number one is that Felda has got to go back to what it knows best, right? Which is looking after the farms and the small holdings of the settlers. This is a basic job because the income of the farms go only to the settlers, never come to the, will never go to Felda. Number two, Felda has to improve its financial situation. And all that, both of this, getting the settlers' farms back on track, getting the funds, the investments back on track, incomes back on track, requires the confidence of the officers and the staff. So that's why it's so important for me to get their confidence, to get them back with their own, you know, the spirit. That's important to me because I think it is the organization which will lead this recovery to make sure that the system of the farms of the settlers continue to be planted, continue to be replanted, continue to give good yields, and payment to the settlers are done on time. That is being done by the officers and the staff of Felda. So I've got to get them to believe in themselves again. And in spite of this horror times, right? Horror times is, simply put, there was a time, for example, that even the staff, the Felda manager at the scheme level, did not know what was happening. So when he went to pray Friday prayers, he quickly, after finishing his prayers, he didn't even stop for the sunat prayers, which normally that's what we do. But because he doesn't want to engage by settlers, because he cannot explain what was happening, you know. And this is the problem where once that happens, then you lose the communication. People become suspicious, and people are wondering what's happening and so on. And there's no information. And that was a period which is also happening when the palm oil price was low, right? So there was it was a coincidence that the palm oil price was low, and then so feelings become easily stirred, right?
A double whammy, in other words, don't
you? A triple whammy, maybe.
We are talking this morning to Tan Sri Sharia Saman, the chairman of Felda, which is an organization set up in 1956 to alleviate poverty among rural Malaysians through the cultivation of oil palm and rubber. After this, Tan Sri, we're going to be talking about what you're going to do to restructure this ailing organization. Tan Sri Sharia Abdul Samad, the chairman of Felda, an organization set up 51 years ago to alleviate poverty among rural Malaysians through the cultivation of oil palm and rubber, with us on the grill this morning, addressing all the brickbats and criticism against this ailing organization. Tan Sri, let me start off this second half with a discussion with a remark from one of our listeners, and I'm not going to name his name. He said that there's a saying that in order to stop corruption, we need to stop putting politicians to head corporations. Now, I'm going to frame this next question in the context of this listener's comments. You say you're in this position and there's going to be blood on the streets and you're going to be doing anything you can to restructure the organization. I'm going to say that one of the biggest criticism against Felda Global Ventures, which is your 21% biggest, and you are the biggest shareholder of Felda Global Ventures now, you continue to pursue this Eagle High transaction. Now, Eagle High is a transaction which has been criticized not only for its very high premium, I think 173% premium to its last traded price at the time the acquisition was announced. There's also $174 million in advance 10% deposit payments in US dollar terms, and it's also said to be buying this asset from a close associate of the current Prime Minister, Mr. Tan Sri Peter Sondak, who has got hotels in Langkawi and the St. Regis Hotel as well. What are you going to do in your position to exit Eagle High as an investment to demonstrate your restructuring efforts?
The Eagle High investment has nothing to do with the restructuring of Felda.
It's got everything to do with Felda.
No. It is not an investment that...
The one thing that has been criticized about Felda Global Ventures and Felda is not that it spent its money trying to diversify its income portfolio. It is the things that it's bought and the price at which it's bought it for. Now, that is the biggest criticism.
No, because it is a government investment in Eagle High. it is only parked with us because we are the...
How can it be a government investment?
No, because we're not borrowing. We're not borrowing it. Because it's a government investment. They have other objectives as well.
If it's a government investment, then it should be done through government vehicles. Like a Khazanah National or a Pemadaan National. Why should it done with
the... Pemadaan National is not... it would not be able to take this investment, I think.
Because, why not?
Yeah, I think maybe later, if in the end, when there are...
Why is it
returns,
using an organization which is set up to alleviate poverty among rural Malaysians through the cultivation of oil palm and rubber to buy an asset which is so vastly overpriced and which has got such a huge cash deposit, US dollar terms, to its owner? Why?
Because I think we are the experts on palm oil, you know, generally. And it could have been...
If you are experts on palm oil, then you'd be paying fair price, no?
No, it depends on how you are, how you see fair price. Do you see fair price in the palm oil industry in terms of the share market price? Or do you see it in terms of the land, the value of the land, the value of the plantation? Because you can compare between the value of FGV and the value of other companies within the Malaysian palm oil industry. There is already a big disparity between one company and another in terms of the share market value. And therefore, for us, we'll look at it from in terms of what they say, enterprise value, in the sense that what's the value per hectare rather than just purely the market price of the shares.
Let me go on further to mention more details about Eagle High. Now, it's very highly geared, 1.3 times earnings. It's also loss-making at a nine-month level. It's lost $22 million, therefore obviating any prospect of dividends for its eventual 37% owner, which is namely yourselves. And it's also involves a huge upfront cash deposit of $175 million. Now, if you're experts in palm oil cultivation, why are you overpaying for an asset which is losing money?
I think the potential is there. You know, definitely the potential in Eagle High is there.
But these are tough times, as you just mentioned.
No,
why?
It's not.
Are tough times for the CPO industry as well as for resources. Why are you pursuing this acquisition when you told us, Tantri, that you're in here to restructure the business, and there is no bigger restructuring effort than at Felda Global Ventures, which has lost two-thirds of its value since its 2000 listing for a price of $455. Right now, it's at $190. Mm-hmm. It's been losing progressively more money since its listing in 2011.
But it's come off from its worst, right?
It is still in dire straits.
Yeah, it is still in dire straits. But
why are you still pursuing Eagle High?
We are pursuing Eagle High because this is on behalf of the government, right? Okay, it is not because we are using our resources. We're not using any of our funds within Felda to buy Eagle High. It's purely a government investment.
You're using government funds to buy Eagle High. Yep. That makes it even worse, doesn't it?
No, it is a decision from the government for us to invest in Eagle High.
Let me go on to ask you as well. Now, here's the thing, right? Felda, as a structure, looks after the interests of its settlers, and roughly estimatedly, around about 24% of the vote bank comes from these individuals. As you say, a lot of them are highly incensed and highly, I think angered would be the right word, by what's been happening at Felda these past few years. Now, disappointed, angered, irritated.
Irritated, upset.
There are all manner of adjectives, don't you, to describe how
course
they feel.
We can all choose the adjectives.
Correct.
You know? But I would imagine, you know, the first part of my job is to look after the welfare of the settlers, right? And that's what I said. You know,
looking after the... There is no better thing you can do to look after the welfare of the settlers by returning the money to the organization.
Wait,
and you can
which are costly. It is as I said, the income from the settlers come purely from the small holdings they have, which is the palm oil business, which is all rubber, and that goes directly to them, and they know that. You know, on the other side of the equation is where Felda has to raise funds or put investments, have profits from their investments so that we can fund the various activities and the various businesses that we are, the various activities that we do for the settlers. But so it's nothing to do with Eagle High. Eagle High does not utilize any of the funds that we utilize for the settlers and for the business of running Felda itself.
One of the criticisms leveled against the Felda Global Ventures listing in 2012 was the opacity and the complexity of the corporate structure and the series of, I guess, transactions that have happened in the last 5 or 6 years, which has resulted in Felda as an entity being highly complex in nature. Now, at the end of the day, just going back to the legislation of 1956, Felda was set up to alleviate poverty among poor farmers.
Through
land development of all palm and rubber. Mm. That is as simple a mandate as you can get. Since then, it's gone into things like sturgeon farming, survival restaurants. He's bought 22% in Iris Corp, which is a passport biometric company.
But before,
It's bought property developers from Tan Sri Effendi Noorwalli of Sarawak.
We all
apartments in London.
We all know that, right? Mm. But prior to the listing, and I said before, we had the ecosystem, the Felda ecosystem. It was all into palm oil business. We had the oil mills, we had the transportation, we had the refineries, we had the products, right? That was the ecosystem of Felda. And then we had the Felda as an organization. We had the settlers as our clients or our stakeholders, and then there was of course the Koperasi Permodalan Felda, right? So, but it was only after listing that it was decided that Felda should also should use the money that they have and resources that they have and invest in businesses which can bring an income to them. So at that particular time, the investment decisions were like, let's buy a hotel. You know, we buy a hotel in Kota Kinabalu, we buy a hotel in Kuching, we buy a hotel in PD, we buy a hotel in London. All right? But fortunately, now we've got a hotel in London to sell. You know, and there is appreciation to that investment, which is good, great.
I hate to draw the connection to 1MDB, but I'm going to. Okay, Tan Sri.
Everybody tries.
and there are common denominators here. Okay, Tan Sri. Now, let me ask you this. Okay, having spent all this money in the last 5 or 6 years, now, of course, you have mentioned that you are on an disposal spree now. And,
Not necessarily disposal spree. You should dispose. What has achieved its value?
Now, I guess this is the second part, right? Yeah. What are you going to do now to pay debts and return the cash to the organization? Which one of your assets, whether it's the biometric company, whether it's the hotel in Bayswater in London, whether it's the Grand Bonio in KK, the plethora of investments, whether it's NCOP, the developer you bought from the former chief minister of Sarawak, which ones of these are you going to sell?
He wasn't the chief minister.
He wasn't the former chief minister.
That's right. Do you think he was a former minister?
Correct. You're right.
The former
Sarawak-based politician. But be that as it may, which assets are you going to be disposing now to restructure the business?
The most important is the asset that has matured. And I think the hotel in Bayswater has matured, in the sense that its value is up, and we bought it at a time when the pound was quite low. It was, I think, below 5. Now it's 560 to the ringgit. So that is an asset class that we can dispose of. But for Iris, for example, certainly, you know, it requires a bit more time. And I think it has value in it because it's got intellectual property, which is unique to Malaysia, and it's a very good technology company. And it's a matter of management and getting the right people on board and making sure that it does what it's supposed to do. Because when we took up new shares, right, in Iris, there's supposed to be a list of things they're supposed to do. And we have to go back into...
Okay, so you won't sell Iris, you won't back out of Eagle High, but you will sell the London Hotel. Let me mention to you, okay? FIC suffered an after-tax loss of 36 million ringgit as of 2015. We don't even have 2016 numbers.
That's right.
From 207 million ringgit in revenue, okay? FGV, the listed company of which you own 21%, has lost, as a last count in the nine-month level, 98 million ringgit. 5 years ago, it made 1.3 billion ringgit. Now, what are you going to do beyond selling your hotel in London to restructure your entities?
I think first things first, right? Which is the most immediate is to stabilize our income flow, our cash flow for Felda. You know, that's the first thing that we can do. That's why, for example, we have for last year, the decision was to sell some of the, liquefy some of the investments in our shares, in our portfolio. We sold Maybank, for example, recently, just to take care of last year's cash flow requirements. This year, I'm looking to borrowing some money, and as well in the interim also to sell our asset, which is to through the hotel. But the other assets that we have, the other investments that we have, like 71% in Ancorp, 21% in Iris, these investments, we have to look at it closely. You can't make rash decisions. I believe Ancorp has value, although we paid a very high for it. You know, there's a problem with these investments. They were paid very high for it. How it happened, you know, is okay, market transaction, you know.
It's water under the bridge, as they
yeah,
say.
That's the point, you see, because these are investment decisions which were made some time ago, and I think what I should do is just to, let's see what how far we can go from there, where we can go from there. We get dividends from FGV. We'll hope to get dividends from Ancorp. We also hope to be able to repair Iris and get it back on its feet. These are things that we can do. But properties, especially like hotels in Kota Kinabalu, Kuching, you know, may take a lot of time to get back on his feet.
Well, in short, Tansri, restructuring or regaining confidence or market acceptance, especially the time when elections are coming, whether this year or next year, we don't know. But there are definitely works in progress. So good luck with your initiatives. Thank you for coming on The Grill with us, and all the best with a very difficult roadmap ahead. That was Tansri Shariah Abdul Samad, the chairman of FELDA, which was an organization set up in 1956 to alleviate poverty among rural Malaysians through oil palm cultivation and rubber, was with us on The Breakfast Grill this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I didn't realize it was 51 years.
51 years.
Are you sure?
I think so. If my math is serving me correctly.
You missed out 10 years.
Thank you so much, Tansri.
Thank you. All right.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.